is from Luke 10:38-42. It's also in your bulletin, if you'd like to read along with me. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to come and help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her." Luke 10:38.
Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, bless us that as we're gathered together here, that you would speak to us by your Spirit and through your word. Bless me as I open my mouth, that the things you've laid on my heart can come out properly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think last time I was here a few weeks ago, we took a look at the same family we're going to look at today. Mary, Martha, key figure Lazarus, and Jesus. And I was just thinking, you know, when they called Jesus to come heal Lazarus, Jesus was 2 days' journey away. Now, how far is that today? That's the middle of the United States. Someone had some faith, some confidence. There was a close relationship here in this family. And they believed Jesus, that they were special to Jesus, and Jesus had become special to them. And so here we are, and this is probably several months prior to that experience with Lazarus' resurrection. And Lazarus isn't mentioned in this story, but we see Jesus here coming to Bethany, the home of Mary, Martha, and we know Lazarus also. It's interesting to notice here in verse 38, as we compare it to the rest of the story, it says, "Now it came to pass as they," Jesus and his disciples, "entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." She was being hospitable to Jesus. What better thing could she have done? And then she went about here in verse 40. She was serving Jesus. She was cumbered, it says, with much serving. Well, shouldn't we be serving? Shouldn't we open and let Jesus in? Well, let's go on and look at the rest of the story. And of course, the bottom line is here we see Mary, while Martha was serving Jesus, even cumbered with serving, while Martha had apparently opened the door and let him in, give him the initial invitation. Good. But Jesus said to Martha, "One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part," which is sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing his word. And maybe we'll launch off a little bit. Kelly kept bringing this up in the Sabbath school class here this morning, the importance of this relationship with Jesus, which such a great amount of that relationship comes through his word and his Holy Spirit. And the two are very closely connected. Jesus, his word, his Spirit, the Father. And we have like no other generation on the planet, access to and ready availability and education to be able to read and access the written word of God. So one thing is needful. Has anyone ever told you they had something you needed? Probably more than a few times. We read advertisements every day. You need our product. Some of them have a lot of great claims for them. I remember when I was a lad walking the streets of old downtown Portland, my dad was looking for his brother that had fallen into alcoholism. And we walked along some of these storefronts that had once been a prospering part of Portland. They had some potions. I don't know whether they would get by with having them in the storefront and selling them today, but they were cure-alls. And they, proponents of, you need this product, it'll take care of your cough and your sore feet and your balding head and on and on and on. And kind of a cure-all, and the primary ingredients in most of them seem to be alcohol and codeine. So you can realize that people got something out of this, but not what they needed. They end up needing a cure from the so-called cure. And so much of what the world has to offer today is something we need a cure for, I believe. So, we see Adam. It says God formed Adam, man, from the dust of the ground, perfectly formed, physically complete. Something was lacking. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It is by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. So no matter how good something looks, there might be something needful. Now, when you can't get your next breath, nothing else is important, is it? Something is needed that takes priority over everything. Do we feel that way about God's word, God's spirit, God's leading, God's promises, that when they are lacking, nothing else matters? Are we that sensitive? Do we feel that dependent? And Jesus said this is one thing that was needed for Mary, and I believe it's the one thing that's needed for us. So do we have needs? Adam needed that breath of life. And it wasn't very long and the first advertisement came by. And Adam told Eve, you need this fruit. This is what it'll do for you, some great things. Well, they ended up needing a cure for what was being advertised. And the cure is part of what we're looking at today. It's the good news. And it wasn't too many generations after Adam that God sent a messenger, Noah, and said, you need to be ready to get in this boat. Very few did. By the time the storm came, everyone wanted to. Going into the boat, Adam was in the minority. Coming out of the boat, he and his family were in the majority. So don't be too ashamed to be in the minority when it comes to following God's word and God's will. And of course, it wasn't very long. And the great philosophers and the leaders said, we need to build a tower. That's going to be our deliverance. That's going to be our status symbol in the world. And there again, we realized they needed a cure for their self-imposed filling their needs. So many things that are temporary, the pleasures of sin for a season, that gives us a great need. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. And the world is on a pleasure kick, while some realize their need, that are suffering in war and famine. We're pretty comfortable here for the most part. And in this world of the pleasures of sin for a season, some look around and they say, well, if that's all there is, then let's just keep dancing. Like the beer advertisement that said, you got to grab, you only go around once in this life, so you got to grab for all the gusto you can get. Well, we need, that gives us, that's just a symptom of our great needs. So the world doesn't seem to be able to supply it, only little temporary uppers. And for every one of those uppers, there's a downer. But maybe religion can take care of our need. So maybe we should build an altar to the sun, or very little is known about the Mayans. I've spent quite a bit of time in the Mayan territory of this world and have been on top of a number of pyramids where they have their altars of sacrifice, considering how much blood might have been shed there. Some believe that they actually, the young and the strong, aspired to become a sacrifice. A little bit of the same philosophy of the guys that flew the plane into the World Trade Center. They would go to some nirvana or something better. And we know the ultimate outcome of those things. Paul went to Athens, and they were great philosophers, had some religious thoughts. They had altars to all the gods they could think of.